Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Luke 22, the verses 54 to 71. The Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 22, verse 54 to 71. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. The servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me, and if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." My theme for reflection is when the rooster crows. When the rooster crows. We have all had moments where we talked a bigger game than we could back up. Maybe it was confidently hitting reply all on that email, only to wish you could reel it back in. Or signing up for that 10-kilometer race because, really, how hard could it be? But by kilometer 5, your legs are screaming, your lungs are on strike, and you realize binge-watching running documentaries doesn't count as training. Confidence has its place, but overconfidence, that false sense of strength we wear until reality humbles us, can leave us exposed. Peter knew that feeling. He was sure he would stand firm. He was sure he wouldn't break, but then the rooster crowed. This portion of Luke's Gospel combines two powerful and painful episodes: Peter's denial and Jesus' trial before the religious leaders. The contrast between them is striking. Peter, the once bold walk-on-water disciple, finds himself around a fire, unraveling in the cold night. Jesus, the bound, beaten prisoner, is holding firm under the heat of interrogation. One man crumbles under pressure, while the other carries the weight of the world with unwavering courage. Peter's failure is all the more heart-wrenching because it is so human. He had just promised Jesus, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." But within hours, he is denying even knowing him. Not to a soldier, not to a judge, but to a servant girl. It wasn't fear of torture that broke Peter. It was the fear of being mocked, of standing out, of being different. It sounds familiar, does it not? Denial doesn't always come in loud declarations like "I don't know him." Often it is quieter. It hides in silence when we should speak. It looks like nervous laughter at a cruel joke, a nod of agreement when we disagree, a compromise that trades conviction for comfort. Peter did not stop believing in Jesus that night. He just couldn't stomach being associated with him. He folded, and we do the same. Not in grand betrayals, but in the small moments. In the meeting where we stay quiet, at the party where we play along, in conversations where truth feels inconvenient. Organizations don't usually fall apart because of bad people. They fall apart because the people who know better stay quiet. Those with insight step back, and the loudest voices, often the least informed, step forward. These voices claim to speak for everyone, but they are really just pushing their own agenda. And still we watch. We stay out of it. We call it diplomacy or wisdom or strategy. But maybe it is just cowardice dressed up. After the third denial, Luke gives us a detail no other gospel includes. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, verse 61. The Savior turned and looked at Peter. What a moment. No words, just a look. A look that pierced Peter's soul and reminded him of who he was and who Jesus still was. And Peter wept. Not tears of fear, but of conviction, of love, and the bitter taste of failure. But here is the grace. Jesus knew Peter's weakness before Peter did, and he had already prayed for his restoration. "I have prayed for you," Jesus said earlier, "that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers," verse 32. The fall was foreseen, so was the return. Meanwhile, Jesus stands in front of the Sanhedrin, the religious elite enduring mockery and false accusations. He is struck, blindfolded, and jeered at. They demand he prove himself, but their hearts are already hardened. Jesus doesn't play their game. "If I tell you, you will not believe," he says, verse 67. He knows the difference between honest doubt and willful rejection. And he asserts his identity not just as Messiah, but as the Son of Man who will sit at God's right hand. Their response? Condemnation for telling the truth. Fleming Rutledge writes that the crucifixion of Jesus was not just a religious event. It was a collision between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God. In Peter's denial and the Sanhedrin's verdict, we see how the world resists truth, sometimes out of fear, sometimes out of pride. But Jesus keeps walking the path of obedience, not to crush his enemies, but to save even those who betray him. Lent invites us to hear the rooster crow in our own lives, to notice where we have distanced ourselves from Jesus in word or in silence. But it also invites us to look up and see his gaze, not of condemnation, but of love that calls us back. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where have you, like Peter, allowed fear of others' opinions to silence your faith? Number two, how does Jesus' quiet strength under pressure encourage or challenge your own way of facing trials? And now our practical exercise for the day. Find a quiet place today. Reflect on a recent moment when you felt tempted to hide your identity in Christ. Write a short letter to Jesus confessing this, and then read John 21:15-19, the scene of Peter's restoration. Let his grace speak louder than your failure. Lord Jesus, you remained faithful while I wavered. You stood firm while I faltered. Thank you that your gaze is not one of shame, but of mercy. When I fail you, remind me of your prayer for my restoration. Help me to walk in honesty, humility, and renewed strength. And when the rooster crows again, may it call me not to guilt, but to grace. In your name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.